Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome. This is the 17th reading in the series of readings from The Secret of the Love of God, Asir al-Hublillahi, synchronized with the reading and the writing of the book every day at 7 a.m. Pacific time, 10 a.m. Eastern time. And the reading today begins on page 131 and will continue, inshallah, to page 145. We'll see. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawm Ad-Din Iyyak Na'budu Wa Iyyak Nasta'in Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim Siratal Ladhina An'amta Alayhim غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Again, this is page 131, the 17th recording. The title of this chapter is The Names of Love. Know, my beloved, that there are four names for the station of love, Maqam al-Mahaba. There's passion, Hawa, which is the falling of love into the heart in its very initial state within the lover. If al-Hawa has no association with another beloved, and the lover is deprived of his will, and comes under the will of his beloved, then passion is named love, hub. When al-hub becomes constant, it is called affection, al-wud. And when it embraces the heart and the thoughts, and nothing remains in the lover except his attachment to the beloved, it is called passionate longing, al-ishq. The ishq surrounds the lover's heart until it blinds him from looking at anything except his beloved. And to each name belongs a state that is related to the essence of the other, which we will explain to you. The first one, the initial attraction, al-hawa. The initial attraction possesses authority and control because it's from the higher realm. This is why it is called falling in love. It's the diffusion of the will of the lover into the beloved, and the attachment with the beloved in the initial state of attraction within the lover's heart. It occurs mainly as a result of a glance, or by hearing, or by excellence, ihsan, but may be the result of many other reasons. This initial stage of attraction is of two kinds. First, the first kind of love as it falls is love as it falls into the heart. It's a manifestation from the unseen into the realm of witnessing within the heart. It's the cause of the meaning which manifests as an initial attraction within the heart. It usually happens as a result of three activities, or as a result of one, or a combination of them, such as a glance, by hearing a voice, or by receiving excellence, ihsan. And its greatest and firmest effect is the glance, because it does not change when meeting takes place. On the other hand, this is not the case with hearing a voice. Its influence can change with meeting after the lover compares the image that his imagination made to the actual picture of the beloved he meets. Regarding the attraction that results from excellence, ihsan, it can easily vanish with forgetfulness that may occur with the continuous receiving of excellence, while the essence of the giver of excellence, muhsin, may not be continuously witnessed. As in, receiving becomes a habit with no appreciation or attraction, with no appreciation or attraction ends when the giving ends. 2. The second type of attraction requires the observation of the divine law, as described in his saying to our master Dawood, alayhi salam, "Judge between the people with justice and do not follow your own desire, hawa." Quran 38:26. This means to follow the rule of the law. He then added, "as it will cause you to stray from the way of Allah." It will confuse you and lead you astray, meaning it will perplex you, and it will corrupt and blind you to the path which has been made legal for you. Your walking and your judgment must be in accordance with divine rules. His Lord commanded Dawood alayhi salam to follow the divine law. He also commanded him to turn away from whoever opposes it. Love, in its initial attraction and desire, is very controlling, and there is no existence of the essence of intellect associated with it in this state. And even though its control is very powerful, it can be attached to many. And the goal of the station of initial attraction is to connect to a particular existence of one or many. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Dawood alayhi salam to connect this power of attraction to the truth that makes the law, which is the path of Allah, and to not attach it to many paths which are not Allah's. This is the meaning of "do not follow your own desire." Allah did not order him to follow what he cannot bear. It does not befit the all-knowing Al-Alim, the wise Al-Hakim, to command someone with what is unbearable to him, and there is none but he. So the command is his, and the intellect needs him, and the intellect is a servant between his hands. To him is the real control and power regarding what he rules, which is in accordance with his vast knowledge. Passion, hawa, is set free and permitted to move without a fixed course. And for every open door, there is control and authority in this lower world of the dunya and in the final abode, akhirah. Physical desire, ashawa, is no more than an attraction, and whoever is allured by low desires falls. This is why it is said about the one who is affected by passionate longing, al-ishq, that he has no way out, even if he goes astray. The self, the nafs, is the location of passion by its innate nature. And passion is the instrument of the self by which it can ascend to higher states by the loftiness of the desire, or can be pulled down by the lowliness of the desire. Passion is the will for ecstasy by that which gives one pleasure. So real love is the greatest, most perfect, and complete passion. Number two is love al-hub. Love is the purity of the attraction, hawa, within the heart. And it releases the self, the nafs, from being caught in the circles of events. The lover has no will with his beloved, and if the initial attraction is purified by connecting it to the way of Allah, rather than to all the other ways, and if the lover is sincere with him, ridding himself of all the pollution of association, it is called love, because of its purity and freedom. In the Arabic language, a derivative of the word love, al-hub, is the word seed, hab. And contained in the meaning of the word hab is an allusion to water making love to the seed so that it may grow. Water is purified within the seed and becomes clean, and all its pollution descends to its bottom. This is the same as love in the creatures when it is attached to the real, al-haq, and when it is purified from having other relationships to associate with him, claiming them as equals to him in his authority. This is called love, hub. Allah says, and those who securely believe are stronger in their love of Allah. Quran 2:165. The reason for this love is that when the veil is removed, those who follow acquit themselves of those who followed them, as expressed in the Quran. And those who followed will say, if only we could return, we would disown them as they have disowned us. Quran 2:167. In the final abode, Akhirah, otherness will vanish, and the believer's love for Allah is what will remain. The believers love Allah more than the polytheists by that which they have gained through their love at the time of their return to Allah. In the lower world of the dunya, there are polytheists who love Allah and also love the partners they make to Allah. And when the resurrection occurs, only their love for Allah remains. So in the final abode of Akhirah, they love Allah more than when they loved him in the lower world. In the lower world of the dunya, their love was divided, but in the final abode, it becomes whole and exclusively for the real, because in the final abode, they do not experience their beloved as God, except exclusively as him, with no other illusion. Mercy precedes everything, so that the pre-existence and the final abode are eternally powerful, but the middle stage is weak because of the illusion of associates. Some see that love is what continues, and that every love that vanishes is not true love, because love's sovereignty is too great to be removed by anything. Even forgetfulness, al-ghafla, which is the greatest sovereign ruling the human being, cannot erase love from a lover, and the lover cannot become unconscious of his beloved or forget his beloved with someone else. This is true love, and this is the state of the true lover. By divine love, Allah loves us, and the love of the real is unchangeable in the universe. And this is why the question, will the universe change, is asked. It will not change because the universe loves for his self, and self-love does not vanish. It is said, but we do see the impossibility of gaining someone's affection in the lower world. I say, this is will, irada, and not affection. But if it is love, hub, and it becomes constant, then it is called continuous affection, arwud, because of its continuation and its affirmed command over the person. In that case, there's no room for the lover in the lover for his self, by which love can be erased. And so his love becomes constant. So understand. Continuous affection, arwud. If the lover sees the essence of his beloved in everything he witnesses, he never loses him. If the lover witnesses another rather than his beloved in a particular essence, then something from that may enter and erase his love. And this is not the reality of love. However, sometimes the command of the will is confused with the command of love. So not every seeker in search of Allah is a lover, and not every lover is a seeker. Similarly, not everyone sought is a beloved, and not everyone beloved is sought. This is why I am more perplexed regarding the lover's complaint than about the affliction that befalls him. If the lover is consumed in ecstasy by his love, where is there room for pain? Whoever claims love, but it is not really his true state, then he has no foot in the door of love. Pain comes from sensation, but the lover's senses and intellect are intoxicated by love. The lover is carried away by love. So how can you complain if you are a lover? There is no benefit in love managed by the intellect. There was once a beloved who stood by the door of her lover calling him, and he answered her, "Leave me alone. I am so busy with my love for you that I have no time for you." This lover used to walk naked because love had taken over his mind and his senses. And how can one without his mind complain? And how can one who is in ecstasy feel pain? Do you not know that the passion of love is stronger than its authority and control, and its pictures are stronger than intellectual argument? In reality, the lover achieves proximity from the love itself, because the beloved becomes attached to love, not to the lover. And this is why true love does not admit to distance, nor thoughts that do not issue from proximity. Love issues from the lover. And the beloved may be physically close to the lover or not. So love is always in proximity to the lover because he is the one who is establishing it. And love is also in proximity to the beloved because the beloved is attached to it. The love of the lover does not follow the love of the beloved. But if the beloved loves the lover back, then both pursue each other without obstacle. When you love, you must know the value of whom you love. Do you not see that the real al-Haq, in spite of his self-sufficiency, rushes to his worshipful slave, Abd, if he loves him? Allah rushes to his lover to bring him in proximity to himself, and he sits with him as one of his special guests. So, my beloved, you should have this quality if a person loves you, because he makes you as his master and makes himself a place for you to command. So if you have a sound intellect, know the value of love and the value of your lover, and rush to connect with him by the good manners which are Allah's qualities. And if someone initiates love for you, he has done you a favor. Know that witnessing the beloved is the ultimate goal of seeking, and also the noblest. And it is the most difficult if you are missing the beloved, and the greatest loss if you lose the beloved. Be polite. Have good manners during witnessing. There are signs which show your courtesy with the beloved, so do not turn your attention to something else. Be constant in pursuing his pleasure, and be humble, and surrender and follow the divine instructions you have received. How wonderful is the fragrance of the beloved. Look at him, listen to him, and gain your true standing with the sovereign Al-Malik and the powerful Muqtadir, who is the real Al-Haq. Glory belongs to him. He is the ultimate quest. And the third category, the passionate longing for Allah, Al-Ishq. The Ishq is intense love. It is a meaning within the beloved by which passionate longing occurs in the lover's heart. This inner meaning kindles the fire of yearning, shauq, and ecstasy, wajd, within the heart. It happens through the epiphany, tajalli, of the name, the beautiful. It is alluded to in the Quran in his saying, and those who securely believe are stronger in their love of Allah. Quran 2, 165. And also in his saying, he has impassioned her with love. Shahfafa, shahfafa, hupa. Quran 12, 30. Referring to Zulaikha's love for Yusuf, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that became like the epicardium, which is a very fine skin that encases the heart, enclosing it like an envelope. The real Al-Haq describes himself as loving intensely, but the real is not to be called Al-Ashik, the one who is deeply affected by passionate longing, Al-Ishq. This is because Al-Ishq means the passionate longing within the lover until it mixes with all of his parts and envelops him completely in a thick cloud. So it is not befitting to describe Allah by this quality, because it is the lover who annihilates in the beloved, and Allah never annihilates. This is why there must be a cause or a tie between the one filled with love and the one filling the lover with this attraction. For there is a cause of attraction to one particular beloved among others. The lover perceives the beloved as more beautiful than others, who may actually be more beautiful. Passionate longing, ishq, comes under the authority and control of the one in whose passion he is inflamed, as in the beloved. If this deeply affected beloved becomes a slave to the lover, then the slave becomes a master who rules over the original master, who is affected by passionate longing for the slave. The lover sees the beloved as greater than himself and he sees that his happiness is in his slavery and surrender to his beloved. And the lover becomes submissive to the beloved, obeying his commands, in spite of the fact that the lover's nature, tabiya, is to love ownership or kingship. However, if passionate longing, ishq, is spiritual, it transforms the lover to what the reality of the spirit demands of him. For the spirit has no kingship within the self and does not accept to be described as dominating. This is why the lover submits to the power of love. Passionate longing, ishq, can be spiritual, ruhaniya, or natural, tabiya, physical, because it also exists in animals and plants. If a person is affected by passion for something not his equal, like being fond of gold or silver, etc., then Allah rewards him accordingly, and only part of his will is annihilated. But when a person is affected by passion for his equal, the person corresponds to another with his complete being. Similarly, if the worshipful slave completely loves the real and annihilates in him during witnessing him, the real will completely correspond to him with his self, because the lover is in his image. In this state of annihilation, Fana, there is not an atom within the lover aware enough to actually intellectualize what he is annihilated in. For he is completely consumed with ecstasy and loving the real alone. When a person loves Allah, the love is both spiritual and natural, even though it does not befit the divine that the lover is attached to him through natural love. But this state is the picture in which there is unification between the two opposites, and there is no spiritual or natural, but only the real. This is because the divine epiphany, the tajalli, is bonded to the natural picture. I'm going to read that paragraph again. It seems important. Well, they all are. When a person loves Allah, the love is both spiritual and natural, even though it does not befit the divine that the lover is attached to him through natural love. But this state is the picture in which there is unification between the two opposites, and there is no spiritual or natural, but only the real. And this is because the divine epiphany, the tajalli, is bonded to the natural picture. Love does not completely occupy the lover except when his beloved is the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is fond of something else that is not in his image, he does not correspond to it with his whole self, nor does it completely occupy him. But if he loves the one in his image, anything within the image has a corresponding part in him, and so all of his being is completely involved and therefore completely annihilated. For what is manifested within the lover and the beloved is similar, and what is hidden is also similar. Do you not see that the real al-haq is named the manifest al-dhahir and the hidden al-batin? This is why the love of the real involves the whole person, completely occupying him and makes him absent from everything else. So the human being's love for Allah is because he is in his image, as it is narrated in the hadith, Allah created Adam in his own image. The human being receives the divine presence with his entire being. And so all the divine names manifest through him, and these become his ethical characteristics, akhlaq. If the person is attached to Allah and Allah becomes his beloved, he is annihilated in his love for the real. And his annihilation in him is more complete than his annihilation in his created forms. When the lover loves Allah's created forms, he is missed in the lover's consciousness in his thick cloud and is manifested in his beloved's essence. But when the real is the beloved, the lover is in continuous witnessing with shahada. And this is like a nourishment to the human form by which the human soul grows. The more the lover witnesses, the more his love increases. Because yearning, ashok, is calmed by meeting, but desire is agitated by meeting, the lover never has enough of witnessing Allah, the beloved, nor can the lover take everything he wants. This is because the more the lover looks at the beloved, the more his love increases, and his longing is agitated, even though the beloved is with him. In the lower world, if the beloved goes away, the lover's imagination of the beloved does not go anywhere. And so the lover sees the beloved's picture all the time, and at any time. And so he is always longing and desiring. Once the seed of love is planted in his heart, love blinds the person from everything else except seeing the beloved, and this reality flows within his body, his faculties, and his spirit, flowing within his blood until there is no room for anything else. If the lover loves Allah in that way, then his hearing is from him, his speech is by him, his seeing is for him, and wherever he looks, he sees him in every picture. Whenever he sees something, he says, it is he, who. At this point, love, hub, is called passionate longing, ishq. She has filled me with love, penetrating me and inflaming all of my spirit, walking the path of my soul to me. And by that same overflowing, the lover was given the name, the friend, the name of the friend, the one that I love. This is the station of the ones who are deeply affected by passionate longing, ishq, those who are completely consumed by love. Love is a quality of the beloved, who is the inflaming one, not the lover who is the inflamed one. The inflamed one is tested and is slain, and the inflaming one tests the slain one, who is calm and tranquil under the flow of the beloved's decrees. Number 4, affectionate expression, al-wud. The divine name of the continuous love, al-wud, is the loving, al-wadud, which is one of his qualities. It is what is constant in him, and it is by him that constant love is named the affectionate expression, al-wud, because of its constancy in the earth. Affectionate expression is the constancy of attraction, hawa, love, hub, and of being inflamed with passionate longing, ishq. The possessor of the affectionate expression, al-wadud, does not change from this station, and the lover comes under love's decree, and its control becomes constant in what causes his activities, in what he dislikes, in what offends him, in what brings him joy. This affectionate expression continues even in the case of being abandoned, rejected, and repulsed from the presence in which he loves the manifestation of his beloved. The love in this case is called continuous affectionate expression, wood. It's expressed in his saying, Sayaj alulahumu rahmanu roda. The merciful will endow them with love. Quran 19:96. The merciful will provide them with a continuous affectionate expression, which alludes to the constancy in love with Allah within the hearts of the worshippers. This is why the real Al-Haq is named the continuously affectionate Al-Wadud, because of his constant love and affectionate expression that he provides to whom he loves of his worshippers. Out of his provision, rizq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the worshipper love him as he loves the worshipper and gives him the gift of witnessing, ash-shuhud. So the lover rejoices in witnessing him within the pictures of everything. And this is why the position of Allah's lovers in the universe is equivalent to the position of the eye in the person. Because even though a person has many organs, only his eyes can see and witness. Similarly, the lovers in the universe are the eyes that witness him. He gave witnessing to his lovers when he knew their love for him. For him, this knowledge is a direct experience, and so he spontaneously does with his lovers what he does with himself. Witnessing concerns the state of that which exists, which is the beloved of the beloved. I did not create the jinn and the humans except to worship me, from the Quran 51:56. He does not create them in that distinguished way in comparison with all other creatures, but because of his love for them. And this is because none worship him nor humble themselves to him except a lover who has gnosis. With the exceptions of humans and jinn, everything is reciting the glorifications of his praise, because when any creature witnesses him, it spontaneously loves him. However, to my knowledge, he has not revealed himself through the epiphany of his name, the beautiful, except to the human being and within the human being. So the human being does not become completely annihilated or inflamed in love except in his Lord, or within the vessel in which his Lord has epiphany. The eyes of the universe are the lovers within it, no matter who is the beloved. For all creatures in reality are platforms for the epiphany of the real, Tajalli al-Haq. The Gnostics' affectionate expression is constant, for they are the affectionate lovers, witnessing him as the continuously loving al-Wadud. The name, the ever-forgiving al-Ghafur, is for concealment. Al-Ghafur is the one who puts a veil on the wrongdoing of his slaves. Whoever attains the station of continuous affection, the maqam al-wud, becomes a platform among the real platforms in which he reveals himself through epiphany to them. But ordinary people are ignorant of whom they love, and they are veiled by the names and the outer pictures in the creation. A person may see one whom he loves, but he may not know who he or he is, or what is his name, or to whom he is related, or what his position is in the universe, but he loves him by all of himself. Our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is similar. We love Him in all of His manifestations and epiphanies, because love simply finds the Beloved. Some of us may get to know Him in the lower world of the dunya, while others may get to know Him after death. The latter love something from which the veil will be lifted in the final abode, and they will realize that they never loved but Allah in reality. And the name of the creature veiled him, and he worshipped the creature's picture, but in reality he was worshipping Allah unknowingly, because what attracted him to the picture of the creature was the essence within the vessel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And your Lord has decreed that you worship none save Him," Quran 17:23. And so they never worship but the Divine in reality, even though they were wrong concerning their attachment to the proportioned vessels that contained His epiphanies. By His name, the ever-forgiving Al-Ghafur, the continuously loving Al-Wadud, He alludes to the veil that conceals Him, where nothing is known but names of the creatures. How marvelous is the Quran in relating the names to the states. He is the ever-forgiving Al-Ghafur, the loving Al-Wadud, Lord of the glorious seat of absolute authority, doer of what He wills. Quran 85:14-16. He is the lover and He is the doer of what He wills. He is the Beloved, and the Beloved can do what He wants with His lover. The lover listens and obeys, prepared to take whatever His Beloved may give him, because he witnesses Him as the lover, the affectionate, which means he is constant concerning the demands and conditions of love. The I-E-Y-E is one, the continuously affectionate, meaning the doer of what He wants concerning the quality of yearning, ashok, and the act of inflamed passion, al-ishtiyaq. Know, my beloved, that longing for the Divine Presence is innate in the self, but patience in separation is an ephemeral quality. Love, by its authority and power, controls the lover and affects him. And if the beloved is distant, the lover has yearning, ashok. And if the beloved is close, there is inflamed passion, ashishtiyak, alishtiyak. Love inevitably affects the lover, whether the beloved is far or near, and yearning, ashok, is calmed when the lover meets with his beloved. Yet the meeting inflames and agitates the desire for complete union even more. This inflamed desire, al-ishtiyaq, is not known except by the ones who are deeply affected with passionate longing, ishq. The one whose agitation is calmed by meeting is not one who is affected by passionate longing, ishq, and not one of the possessors of the truth. If someone's clothing is inflamed by fire, how can he be calm? If there is an intensive fire, there is agitation and motion and worry. Whoever becomes calm and tranquil is not in a state of passionate longing, ishq. Because when one is full of passionate longing, there is no tranquility. When passionate longing manifests, the lover enters a station of dispersion and insanity, because the one deeply affected by passionate longing is not in control. He is under the authority and power of his passion, but he does not rule the one whom he loves. And this is what love demands. There is no lover who loves but that he also loves himself in reality. And no one is affected with passionate longing except because of a meaning he perceives with his senses. This is why the one affected by passionate longing feels the pain of separation and seeks this ecstasy of mingling with the beloved. The Gnostics are fortunate in their pursuit of it. They are in a high rank because they have knowledge of what the real has concealed behind the curtain. So the Gnostic is with that which he pursues, but he is pursuing nothing, and he has no beloved and desire outwardly except what his essence brings closer to him. And his being is agitated by this because if the lover wants what the beloved wills of separation, he will be destroyed between the wish and the command. And his claim of love is not true, and he is not to be considered among the lovers. Yearning, ashok, is a spiritual movement or agitation to meet the beloved, and also a natural movement to meet the beloved, if it is possible to physically meet the beloved. Then if the lover meets the beloved, he finds joy, but within this he also finds another spiritual movement of restlessness, and he becomes perplexed about the meaning of the existence of this agitation and restlessness, since the meeting with the beloved has taken place. He then sees the agitation and restlessness increase, and he becomes frightened by this, especially during intimacy. His fears are attached to his expectation of separation, furak. So the agitated desire, ishtiyak, within him seeks to increase the continuation of the state of intimacy. This explains why the lover is agitated by meeting his beloved, as it is said about yearning, ashok. The utmost longing is yet to be, on the day when the house of the lover comes even closer to the house of the beloved. Indeed, longing increases when the lover sees the location of the house of the beloved. Continuous longing is the manifestation of his concealed tenderness, which results with the initial powerful attraction, hawa. But longing is calmed by meeting the beloved. The heart yearns for the absent one, but if the beloved comes by, the heart is calmed. Nonetheless, the inflamed desire, ishtiyak, is a movement that the lover finds during his meeting with his beloved as he rejoices in the beloved. The lover cannot satisfy his whole passion because if he attains satisfaction, he is tranquil. But he cannot get enough of his beloved, for the senses cannot ever fulfill what is within the soul concerning its attachment to the beloved. So the lover becomes as someone who drinks seawater. The more he drinks, the more his thirst increases. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, there are two seekers who can never be completely satisfied, the pursuer of knowledge and the pursuer of the lower world. Regarding the capacity of the lover to gain from the two, knowledge has no end, and so he cannot be satisfied. And it's the same with the pursuit of the lower world, because it is the desire of the soul by which it seeks ecstasy. Without ecstasy, love does not feel as good, and longing cannot be calmed. And without ecstasy, the inflamed agitation of desire would not remain after meeting the beloved. The life of one who has tasted falling in love, hawa, can never more be calm without meeting the one for whom he is deeply affected by passionate longing. If he sees the beloved, the lover is calmed by a meaning that agitates him anew, a meaning of a unique wisdom known to those who knows who released it. Love never attaches itself except to that which is non-existent, and this is why longing cannot be for one who is present. Longing is attached to that which is absent and not witnessed in the moment. And this is also why longing is one of the characteristics of love. Every yearning one is a lover, and every lover is yearning. Whoever has no longing is not a lover, and the one who is not in love does not yearn. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the ones who are longing for Him, and He said that His longing for them is more than their longing for Him, and it befits Him in His majesty to comfort them by allowing them to meet the one whom they yearn for at the appointed time. But whoever does not change will not arrive, and it's natural that the one who has no longing for Allah will be late. The garden, Arjana, longs for the ones who remember Allah, who are truthful and sincere, the people of Allah, the Gnostics who surrender to His commands and avoid His prohibitions. Longing is a direct tasting experience, dhaq, only known to one who is longing. This is the reward of one who loves other than his own being. If the lover loves Allah, then his state is that which Allah wants. The lover of Allah does not fear separation, for how can he separate from the one who is with him, wherever he is, from the one whose hand is over their hands? Quran 48:10. Where he has been and will always be, the Gnostic sees Allah as his beloved and sees Allah closer to him than his own jugular vein. Quran 50:16. The pain of longing or yearning to meet the beloved is mild for the Gnostic who tastes the flames of desire, al-ishtiyaq, even though he is with his beloved. But the Gnostic's pain of longing when he senses separation is very intense. The Gnostic does not stop with any outer appearances, illusion, or imagination, but he brings himself to a halt only with the divine self, a thought. He must walk the path and understand what Allah wants of him and continue walking towards Him until he finds Allah in everything he sees. Where then is there any room for separation when nothing in the universe manifests except Him? And He is with you wherever you are. This realization increases the Gnostic's knowledge of Allah and love for Him while existing, baka, in witnessing mushahada and unveiling mukashafa, and everything annihilates except Allah. Here I like to allude to his epiphany to Jali in proportionate pictures in the lower world, the dunya, and in the final abode, akhirah, to his worshipful servants. This he does without likeness to the proportionate pictures and without conditioning or adaptation of the pictures. And this is why it is said, fire has been kindled within my heart and within my liver, longing for the light of the divine self, the one and the only. That in a unique way, he bestowed upon me the light of the self, until I became absent from the unity of creation and became one. I began to witness him in every descending order, and his attentive care in proximity, and even when far apart. The close of chapter, this chapter, and on page 145. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, rahmanir rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين 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 السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.